Welcome to Chalk Radio, where medical experts from Children's Hospital of Orange County share their knowledge about keeping kids healthy and safe. In this episode, we speak with Dr. David Gibbs, a pediatric surgeon and the director of trauma services at Chalk, about minimizing scarring after surgery. Dr. Gibbs, welcome to Seacrest Studios.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How does a child's skin differ from an adult skin? Would a child react to potential scarring the same way as their parents would?
Depending on the age of the child, it would be very different than an adult skin. And the younger the child is, the more different it is from an adult skin. First of all, a young child and a baby's skin is much more fragile than an adult skin, but it's also much more resilient, and it heals much, much better. So that means that during any type of surgery that you might do, you have to be very careful when you're performing the surgery. But at the same time, if that skin is cared for properly and well, both during the treatment and afterwards, you can have a reasonable expectation that their scars may actually look much better than in an adult. So a child reacts differently to potential scarring than their parents, both because you can do more harm, but also you can expect, with proper care, more improvement. Another big difference between a child and an adult is that when a child has a scar, that's a scar that they're going to carry with them for many, many years, the rest of their life. Whereas an adult, when they have a scar, it's going to be a permanent scar, but there's going to be far fewer years potentially where they have that scar.
So are certain children more at risk for scarring than others?
There are several groups of children that are more at risk for scarring than others. There are some children who have a family history or a personal history of forming keloids. Keloids are, we call them hypertrophic scars, or these very prominent, thickened, raised scars that can be unsightly for the child. They can be very uncomfortable and can be difficult to deal with. These are actually more common in children with African ancestry, but you can also see them in other children with any other ancestry. One of the clues that a child may be at risk of forming a keloid scar is if they have formed it previously or if other family members of theirs have formed these scars.
So what can be done to help minimize scarring?
Well, there's a number of things that you can do to minimize scarring. There's really three or four things that the surgeon can do, and then there are also three things that the parents can do to minimize scarring. The most important one is really the obvious one, to first make sure that the intervention, that the operation that you're going to do, is actually necessary. So that means that before performing a surgery, make sure that the surgery is absolutely indicated and that it needs to be done at all. And that's where good medical judgment and a good rapport between the referring doctor, the surgeon, and the family is really important to make sure that, in fact, surgery is the correct decision. Then, once you have decided to proceed with surgery, one of the most important things that we can do is select the location of the scar. And what that means is that when you're doing an operation, there are certain places in the body and certain anatomic lines that if you place a scar in, you will have more favorable wound healing than in other places. Now, there's times where you just don't have a choice about where your scar is going to be. But we as surgeons have a good knowledge of where the skin lines are, where we can hide a scar, and where we can expect a scar to heal well. Within that, when I say location of scar, that also brings us to our second point, which is make the scars small. For example, rather than doing a major abdominal incision or a major chest thoracic incision, when possible, we use laparoscopy and minimally invasive incisions that significantly minimize the size of the scar. So rather than having, for example, a 6-inch incision in the abdomen, when we do an abdominal laparoscopic case, we're talking about 2/4-inch and maybe 1/2-inch scar in the belly. So by using technology as well as by using surgical technique, we can make the scar a lot smaller. Another thing that we can do as pediatric surgeons is we take a little bit of extra time and we do a little bit of extra work to make our incisions as small as possible. It's actually more work for a surgeon to work through a small incision than a large one because you have a little less exposure. But as long as you're not compromising safety, what you can do is minimize discomfort and minimize any potential scar length, which is very important, again, for a child who's going to have a scar for a very long time. The final thing that we can do as surgeons is treat the incision carefully and close the scar carefully. And what that means is that during the operation, rather than handling the tissues aggressively, we're very precise, we're very gentle, we're very delicate with how we handle tissue in our young patients, and we're trained in closing up with a great deal of precision and a great deal of care. This is all we do, is operate on children. And by using good surgical technique, you're more likely to have good wound healing.
What can parents do after their child's surgery to help mitigate scarring?
Well, there's several things that parents can do. I have become a big believer in the importance of scar massage, both from my own personal experience as well as my family's experience in dealing with scars. And what scar massage involves is once your child has been cleared by their surgeon, if you and the surgeon wish to do this, you can do scar massage. In my own patients, I encourage them to do that beginning about 3 weeks out from the time of the surgery, once we've confirmed wound healing. And there's two types of scar massage. One is a circular massage around the scar that enables lymphatic drainage to occur, and that helps reduce tension on the scar. The other type of massage that's a little bit longer term is a linear massage parallel to the length of the scar. And what that helps to do is break up some of the collagen fibers and allow the scar to heal up in a little better fashion. So rather than running crosswise perpendicular to a scar, you perform scar massage for a minute or two with just your index finger along the length of the scar. The second thing that can be done really in conjunction with the first is to apply ointments. And the best way to apply an ointment is with scar massage. There's different items that you can use to minimize scarring. One of the ones that I like the best is vitamin E oil, which either can be purchased as a separate liquid, or you can take the capsules and open them up and then apply the oil along with a scar massage to a scar. You can use petroleum jelly. Vaseline is also a product that will allow you to moisten up the area as well as perform scar massage. There are also various commercially available scar creams that can be applied. The suggestion I would make is if you're going to put one of those on, check with your surgeon first and make sure that they're comfortable with that and they're comfortable with the ingredients in there. There's another very important factor that families should do to minimize scarring, and that is to protect a fresh scar from the sun. For the first 6 to 9 months, while a scar is rebuilding and reforming, it's particularly vulnerable to any pigments that get in there. And when you tan a fresh scar, it will remain darker than the skin around it, even as the surrounding skin lightens up with the seasons. You've essentially created a tattoo that's going to be permanent. So for the first 6 to 9 months after a scar is made, if it's in a sun-exposed area, the best thing to do is first cover it if you can, and if you can't, at least protect it with a fairly strong sunblock with an SPF of at least 50.
So how often should we massage a scar?
Ideally, scar massage should be done twice a day, but even if you do once a day, you'll see significant improvement. That should be begun 2 to 3 weeks after the surgery, after being cleared by your surgeon, and should continue for 2 to 3 months after the surgery.
Do you have any other advice for parents whose child is preparing for surgery?
In general, the best thing to do is to reassure a child that you, as a parent, are going to be there for them. Do not hide from them the fact that they're going to have a surgery, but do not use words that may be upsetting or frightening to them. Some words that children really don't like to hear are words like cut or needle or pain. Those are trigger words that are going to make a child uncomfortable. At the same time, if you try and simply hide from the child the fact that they're going to have surgery, then they're going to lose trust. And when they lose trust, they're going to have fear. And when you have fear, you worsen pain. So the best thing to do is to not underestimate your child. They will read a lot from your own demeanor. And if you speak to your child in an open way and tell them why they're going to need an operation and tell them that they're going to be kept comfortable and that you are going to be there for them before the surgery and after the surgery, that the doctors are going to do everything to help their problem and to make them better and make sure that they're comfortable and that they're home again, that tends to be the best advice to prepare a child for surgery. Children are most afraid, first, of being left alone. They're afraid of being in pain, and they're afraid of disrupting the family's routine. So as much as possible, if you can reassure them that everybody's there to make them better, to keep them comfortable, and that you're going to be there for them during every phase that is possible, that's very reassuring to a family. They will also look at a parent's demeanor, and if the parents are calm and accepting, the child is much more likely to be calm and accepting. It is really amazing how much a child can understand and how much they can be told if it's presented in a calm way.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Dr. Gibbs, for coming in and speaking to us about scarring.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Chalk Radio. You just heard Dr. Gibbs, a pediatric surgeon and the director of trauma services at Children's Hospital of Orange County, discuss minimizing scarring after surgery. Stay tuned for more episodes and health topics from Chalk Radio. Visit chalk.org/blog for more information or follow Chalk on social media. We are at Chalk Children's on Instagram and Twitter, and we are at facebook.com/chalkchildren's.